Today on Real Radio.
If you don't want to sing, that's between you and God. If you want to sing, that's between you and God. If you want to raise your hands, that's between you and God. If you do not want to raise your hands, that's between you and God. That's why this church is filled with a bunch of Bapticostals.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? Now, in this collection of lessons, we're learning how Scripture answers questions like, why should I worship? Why should I fast? Why should I pray? And so on. Now, we just finished up Pastor Jack's lesson called, Why Should I Go to Church? And today's lesson is sort of similar, but with some obvious differences. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called, Why Should I Fellowship?
Why is church important? Why is fellowship important? 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are God's chosen generation. That's you and me, people. A royal priesthood, really? Yep, every one of us. Remember, this message is going out right now to those of us here in this church right now. It's to prepare us, Peter's telling us, to be royal priests. A holy nation, his own special people, peculiar is the word, that you may proclaim the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Where's that happen? In the world. In church, among one another, who were once not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's us. That's who and what we are now. What we are now is this, Revelation 21:5. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. So, well, how does that apply to me? If I'm a Christian, how does that apply to me? In 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17, it says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no more. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, can I see just for effect, those of you who raised your hands earlier, you're Christians, let's see one more time. Did you know? Listen, if you're a Christian, it means that you know what it means to be in Christ. That's the code word. Only those who are Christians know what in Christ means. A lot of people say they're believers. Oh, are you a Christian? Yep. Then ask somebody if you have doubts about who or what they know of God. Say, well, are you in Christ? Well, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's who we are in Christ. New creations. Third consideration under this second point. Why is spiritual fellowship important? Because of where we are now. Not just this physical spot. I'm not talking about that. But because of where we are now. Where meaning our heavenly seating. We've got the Bible tells us that we have a place reserved in heaven for us. Did you know that? Where we are. Did you know that right now we are spiritual people and that we have a citizenship in heaven? Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Here's an awesome verse. Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and listen to this, people, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Right now, it's a funny thing. You're sitting here. You're here. But did you know? Only through God there is a place in heaven that is reserved for you, but according to the mind of God, it is as though you're already there. Isn't that weird? I love that. Some of you own more than one home. Some of you own more than two homes. Both of those addresses, all of those addresses belong to you. Your name is on all of them. But because right now we're on this side, your geographical location is pinpointed to a certain place. But legally, in the realm of the law, according to the world and ownership, doesn't your power and your presence and your authority exist at each of those addresses? Absolutely. Geographically, we're here. Spiritually, where is our residence? It's both here, yes, and in heaven. Man, we need to be thinking about that more and more. We are both here and there, and it's the same thing. In the heavenly places, our citizenship, the Bible tells us, is in heaven. Third point, point number three, the fellowship factor regarding our fellowship with God and why that's important is when. When is spiritual fellowship encountered? When is it encountered? When we pray. Jot that down, would you? When we pray. That's an encounter. It's spiritual. That is when we pray in private, just you and the Lord and no one else around and all of the world. That's a spiritual encounter. That's spiritual fellowship. When we pray. By the way, when we pray together, I love it. We prayed a moment ago together. That's biblical. And that is fellowship. Then maybe in a corporate prayer where the body generally comes together and prays, or the church throughout the earth. We're coming up on May 1st, the National Day of Prayer. What's going to happen? In the Spirit, there will be a supernatural unity of God that only God can accomplish across time zones throughout America, where there's a corporate gathering of prayer. And that, my friend, is spiritual fellowship encountered. And when does that happen? Whenever we pray. When God's people come together and pray, you can expect the Holy Spirit to move. Boy, that's a powerful thing. I know we're running low on time. I got to share how God answers prayer. The Lord delivered into our hands a high school pastor. Praise the Lord for that. We've been waiting and praying for so long. Soon to be announced. Don't ask me after service. He doesn't know yet. And the Lord's delivering into our hands a college and career pastor. God moves when people pray. But we're not going to touch this topic for a few weeks. What God does when his people pray. But listen, when we pray, it's a spiritual encounter. Number two under this point, a spiritual fellowship is encountered when we worship. Oh, this is going to be one of our topics as well in this series. When we worship, that's an encounter. Personal worship, private, alone worship with God. Then convocational. That's convocational. Worship is when we come together, public, united, in ordered prayer and ordered worship. By the way, I mentioned this a moment ago. I'm going to say this just for the record. There's a lot of talk going on about worship, and I just want to say this. I have a little personal note here. The raising of hands in worship, that's getting a lot of heat these days in public worship. This church raises its hands in worship to those who are prompted by God to raise their hands in worship. This church raises their hands in worship when that worshiper is making that song that he's singing, she's singing, a prayer unto God. You say, well, I don't like to raise my hands. Then don't raise your hands. That's okay. But don't look at that person next to you and say, why is he raising his hands? Leave him alone. It's between him and his God. What if somebody dropped to their knees? What are you going to say to God about it? Hey, God, that guy next to me is on his knees. What are you going to... Watch out. Listen, if you just sit there like I often just sit there, I mean, I'm guilty of all of the above. But sometimes I just sit there. And I'm worshiping just as God as much when my hands are lifted. If somebody, it's just their heart and style to sit there and worship, do you understand that God is blessed by their sitting there? They're not worshiping God any less, nor is the guy who's raising his hands worshiping God anymore. It's an expression, listen, it's an expression that if you like or don't like, is based upon your preference, but don't ever, ever evoke some sort of a scripture or a conviction that it's of God that you have to sit, or it's of God that you have to raise your hands. Listen, don't let personal preference override one's biblical conviction. If you don't want to sing, that's between you and God. If you want to sing, that's between you and God. If you want to raise your hands, that's between you and God. If you do not want to raise your hands, that's between you and God. That's why this church is filled with a bunch of Bapticostals. But listen, worship is an encounter and it brings us to the presence of God. Third, under this point, when we do, that's a spiritual event. That is a spiritual fellowship encounter, when we act, when we do as believers. Meaning that when you and I are united, listen people, when you and I are united in the cause of God, great things can be done. Why? Because our spiritual, are you listening? Our spiritual fellowship with God takes on a physical manifestation that can only be displayed in our acts or in our doing. Be not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Why? Don't tell me you're a spiritual person and there's no acts or doing flowing out of your life. Your words mean nothing. If a church says, we love God, and they do nothing to feed the homeless, they do nothing to see and visit the shut-ins, they do nothing about those that are in prison, they do nothing about the community, then I don't want to hear anything about that church and how great it is. You will know a true spiritual work in a church or in a person's life by what they do, because their true faith in God, though it's spiritual, is acted out practical by how they act and how they do. Are you with me? I'll give you an example. Hang on to your seats. Last Wednesday night, we had the African Children's Choir here. They raised the roof. It was amazing. And if you're not familiar with it, go online and read all about them. Orphans, these kids are, singing the praises of Jesus. The Spirit of God moved on your hearts in a Wednesday night service, and as the Spirit of God moved on your hearts, this church, and I say this humbly, I'm pausing because I don't want it to be taken wrong. God knows my heart, though. God moved on your hearts and of your own will to help them continue doing what they're doing and make sure they got clothes and shoes and the fuel on their bus to go to their other commitments. They wound up receiving, from their visit, over $12,000 in one Wednesday night service. That is you. That's you doing spiritual fellowship. They cried. I mean, the kids don't know this. The leadership cried. They were blown away. Never before has this happened. Why? When I heard that, I just first thought in my mind, God, forgive me. Say, Jack, what? Yeah, you know what? You know how you can get so far into the forest that you can't see the trees? If you're a nurse or a doctor, do you see healthy people or sick people? Sick people. As a pastor, I see sick people. I see broken homes. I see wives who have left their husbands, husbands who left their wives. I see kids on drugs. I see molestations, attempted suicides and suicides. And that can get so much the norm that you begin to think, is anybody out there hearing from God? That you get tainted. Those of you in law enforcement, you begin to think, is anybody keeping the law? You get tainted. Your heart can get hard and callous. And when that news came to me in my office, guess what happened tonight? That person turned and walked out, and I just said, God, forgive me. Because you know what? The Spirit of God was moving Wednesday night, touched the hearts of so many people in this place to help these kids of God's own sovereign will. And it was just the injection I needed, because it had nothing to do with money. It had to do with where your treasure is. You, where your treasure is in heaven. And you didn't hang on to your thousands of bucks. You gave it up for these kids. It's awesome. Someone said to me, whoa, how are we going to pay our light bill this month? Are you kidding? Watch what God does. Why? Because you are hearers and doers of the word. And I'm an honored man to be in front of you. And act as we spiritually encounter God. It's a wonderful thing. Point number four, where is spiritual fellowship experienced? Where? You might say, well, it's in the church, isn't it? It could be. Hopefully, yes, but it could be in the church. I'm going to give you a verse that we so often abuse. Honestly, we abuse it. It's Matthew 18, verse 20. Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you." We often use that verse as a fellowship verse. True, it is, but when you read Matthew 18, when Jesus says, "When two or more are together, there I am in the midst of you," according to correct Bible study and teaching, it is a verse of church discipline. Did you know that? Has nothing to do with prayer, has nothing to do with fellowship in its rawest form. It has to do with church discipline. Jesus says, when you're going to exercise judgment regarding sinning brothers and sisters, where two or more of you are gathered together in this issue, know that I am in the midst of you. Read Matthew 18 later. Is it wrong for us to invoke that verse when it says, well, you know, let's pray for our brother, and you know what the Bible says, wherever two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of you. It's not wrong. It's kind of a stretch, but it's not wrong. But besides, isn't he always with us? Sure he is. Fellowship. I thank God Matthew 18, 20 teaches me that even when the church has got to deal with disciplinary actions, Jesus is with us. Fellowship. Where is it that it takes place spiritually? Yes, in the church. But perhaps a true definition of fellowship with God in the Spirit comes in 1 Corinthians 10:31. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, the scripture says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do to the glory of God." You know what that means? Where is spiritual fellowship experienced? In our hearts all the time. Jot it down. Three things quick. In our hearts. Write it down. That's where spiritual fellowship is had, in our hearts. That kind of sounds ethereal or ghostly, but it's true. God resides in our hearts. It begins in our hearts. Number two, in our minds. The seat of our reason, the seat of our logic, our intellect is in our mind. Man is a psyche. He has a mind. He has what's called a soul, or psuche in Greek, where we get the word psychology. Man is that person. And in his thought life, that is where the mind resides. In fact, you might want to look at your mind as we worship God and know God in our heart and in our minds and in our physical being. The heart is like the Holy of Holies of who you are, your heart. You know this is true. Our minds, if our heart is holy, or I should say, if our heart is like the Holy of Holies or like the house of God where he lives, the mind is like the porch. Whatever is going on in this world, it lands on the porch first. The mind's got to deal with it before it ever enters into the heart. So in our experience with God, where is spiritual fellowship experienced? Yes, in our hearts, but before it ever lands in our hearts, there is an encounter in the spiritual realm in our minds. By the way, in all fairness, cheer up those of us who struggle with thoughts in the mind. Does anybody struggle with thoughts, bad thoughts, tempting thoughts? No? Us? Just you and me. While we're in heaven, we'll be talking about that together. No, everybody does. If you're a Christian, you battle the thoughts of the past. You even battle thoughts right now. You even battle thoughts of the future. Why? And I'll admit it for all of you. You bunch of liars, you're all sitting here with your hands on, sitting on your hand. Ooh, we'll pray for you, Pastor. Hey, thoughts enter the head. And you got to battle with them. That's why Corinthians says, bring every thought under the captivity of Christ. Why? Because it's rubble up there. It's like a porch. Newspapers get thrown on it. Kids spit on it. Dogs come and do things on it. But getting more personal, love novels get thrown on it. Nasty magazines get thrown on it. Billboards get thrown on it. Songs get thrown on it. You name it. On the porch. And what you do in your mind with what's in this world determines how your heart's going to be. What do you let in? You say, man, Pastor, I'm fighting these thoughts all the time. Keep fighting those thoughts. I'm with you. Keep fighting them. Don't let them get into the house, because what gets into the house comes out of the house, right out of the mouth. Jesus says it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where did it ever get into the heart? Through the mind and its avenues, the ears and the eyes and feel. The mind. Be careful. The Bible says we have to renew our minds daily. But he gave us a brand new heart. Did you know that? In conversion, he gave us a brand new heart. But we have to renew our minds daily. Isn't that kind of stinks, huh? And the mind, well, the mind is going to do whatever you let it. It's been said that the mind is the mistress of every person. Because if you sow to the spirit, the mind will think spiritual thoughts. If you sow to the flesh, the mind will think fleshly thoughts. It will follow whichever, whomever is in charge. If you're thinking nasty, it's because you've been sowing nasty. If you're thinking right on thoughts, then you've been sowing to right on things. In what we see, in what we allow, in what we hear. The heart, the mind, and our lives, thirdly, our lives. Fifth and final point, truly I'll be done, I'm going to shorten it up. Who can fellowship spiritually together? Who can? Who can spiritually fellowship together? The Bible tells us over and over again that those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual union of a brother and a sister. Paul says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what fellowship does Christ have with Satan? The Bible tells us that it's impossible for us, in 1 John it says, to leave this world. We must interact with people of this world. The Bible makes that very clear. We have to do that. But we're not to fellowship with them. We're not to share and to be intimate with them. There's things in fellowship that must be reserved for us together. Jesus says, don't cast your pearl before swine. Don't throw out that which is precious among one another to those that will trample such things. And these things that are precious are three of them. Jot them down and we're done. It's forgiveness. Who can fellowship together? Those who have been forgiven. Number two, those who desire real love. Not worldly lust, but want to be really, really loved. Those are the ones who can experience spiritual fellowship together. And anyone who desires to know Jesus personally can experience spiritual fellowship. Are these the factors of your life? Is fellowship precious to you? It's my prayer that it is.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson called, Should I Fellowship? Boy, isn't this a great series? It's part of Pastor Jack's series simply called, Why Should I? It's a collection of lessons that explore how the Scriptures command us and admonish us in our lifestyle choices. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget to visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org, as it's a great way to keep up with everything that's happening with us around here at Real Radio. That includes signing up for a free subscription to Pastor Jack's devotional called Words to the Wise. I personally love this devotional, and I hope you'll get a hold of it. Words to the Wise is sent straight to your email, real easy to read. You're going to like it a lot. Here's a little example of a Words to the Wise subscriber expressing some appreciation. Pastor Jack, says the reader, all I can say is that I needed that right now. God bless you with more wisdom and revelation. That's it. Just a few words to encourage Pastor Jack. We love that. Subscribe to Words to the Wise. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And click on the button there at the right that says devotional, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.